That is a big declaration this morning. To be a son and a daughter. Oh, I have an echo. Beautiful. Thank you, worship team, to remind us of who we are. And we get to hear that story again. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your word that reminds us of who you are. And then it declares to us who we are in you. So Father, before anything gets laid down, I just ask Holy Spirit, you are invited here. You are welcome here. Step into this place, Holy Spirit, and blow as you would will. Give us your truths today. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we just say that we love you. We thank you for revealing to us Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, for revealing the Father to us. We just thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, that story of the Red Sea, we hear it a lot, but, you know, I asked myself, what does that really mean, and how was that, how does that relate to us today? And, you know, I was reading Isaiah, and it said that the Israelites walked through dry land. Apostrophe Red Sea. And I couldn't stop but think and thank the Lord that it was a Red Sea and not just any other sea, because it was a representation of what his blood was going to do for us. That his blood was going to cover all of the enemies, all of the things from the past. And his blood flooded every single enemy that was after you. And he said that you would no longer would have to see them ever again. It was a reminder and a proclamation what the blood of Jesus was going to do for us. That it was going to drown every single enemy that was after you. And that he was freeing you from your old master, the Pharaoh, who hated you. And who put you to work and gave you a miserable life to walk into a new place with God Almighty, who was going to give you everything, even when you didn't even acknowledge him. This morning I want to talk to you about spiritual authority. It's been bubbling in my heart. It's been pressing in me. And Vicky delivered a word while I was in Vegas that I heard, and she was talking about the names and the of the Lord, and I love that because I love to hear how people would worship the same God, but with a different revelation. God was revealed with a different name to Moses as he was from Abraham. And so from generation to generation, there's a new revelation of who he is to a people. And so we know him as Jesus. We know him as God. We know him as the Holy Spirit. But there's so many other names that we know him as, that he is God. And so, ironically, there's not a lot of people here today, which I'm glad. Why? Because that's a confirmation that the message that was about to be delivered today is important and highlighted for specifically you who are here. I believe that this message is going to be a prayer and a proclamation into your life. As I was preparing, I said, Lord, I'm going to testify of how good you are. I'm going to testify of your faithfulness tomorrow. I'm going to declare to your people that you are indeed good, that you are still alive, and you are working in the lives of those who love you. more than ever, I want to teach the Word of God. I've spoke about it, and ironically, I printed out my message from July, and it's wisdom. Knowledge. And so I said, okay, so this is the second time it's popped into my heart, so what is really going on? And we need to begin to teach to the generations that are forgetting about who God is. The generations are not becoming more sinful. They're just becoming illiterate of who God is. I read this and I thought about it, and then it came clear to me that the United States doesn't have a sin problem. Sin has already been taken care of. Sin's already been bought. Sin's already been paid for. Sin has already been redeemed. Even in the worst sinner, his worst sin has been bought for, has been paid for. The problem is the sinner problem. But if we get the sinner to God, the problem is solved. It wasn't so much the bad things that I was doing in my life. It was that I didn't know who God was. That was the biggest sin in my life. That I lacked knowledge of who Jesus is and who Christ was really in that cross. What he represented to me. I went to a Catholic church, and for so many years I saw the cross and I saw a Jesus crucified. And I had earthly reverence, earthly respect, that when I would walk into a building, a church, you know, I would take my hat off and, you know, I would have some type of respect because, you know, there was a cross there. But when the revelation of Jesus Christ came to me and what that cross meant and revealed to me, it was no longer just taking your hat off. It was laying my life down and saying, this is yours. It was no longer just out of respect or out of religious duty or religious, you know, do's and don'ts. It was God Almighty has just entered into the building. It is the presence of the living God just interrupted my morning to say, here I am. And it was no longer just putting your head down and saying, I know that there's a cross. It was more, I am here, Father. And he would pick up your face and say, look at me. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to pray over you. Ephesians 1. I read this book. Some of you might know him, Kenneth Hagin. I didn't know about him. But as an old preacher that I would call a general, I was gifted a book that has wrecked my life, has wrecked the way I pray, has wrecked the way I read the Word. And I've been applying this to my own life and praying Ephesians over my life, and I've changed some of the wording so it applies to me, and I recommend that you do that. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. Give you a little 2 seconds to get there. Ephesians 1, 16 verse through 20th. It says, do not cease to give thanks for you. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. Ephesus, I'm sorry. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Very important. That you don't just receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, that he worked in Christ, the same power he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul goes on to talking about how he gracefully was revealed that Jesus was not just here for the Jews, but he was here for the Gentiles. That's me and you. We are the Gentiles. You know, I remember reading in Scripture that the holiest of holies was in a place, and that the Jews would be allowed to be around it, and that the highest priest would be able to go in, but that there was a wall of separation after that. And then the Gentiles would be in that place. And there was actually a sign that would say that if a Gentile would even cross into that place where the Jews were, that they were to be ordered to be killed. You weren't supposed to be there. You weren't supposed to be that close to the presence of God, according to the religious. But God is our peace. He is the one that came to abolish that wall, and no longer are Jews and Gentiles separated, but they are one in Christ. That is the greatest mystery that was revealed in the Word of God in Ephesians. That the Word of God wasn't just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles. That's me and you. So Paul talks in Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The only way that you are going to comprehend, that you are going to grasp, that you are going to understand the Word of God, if it's Holy Spirit revealed to you, if it's spiritually revealed to you. In order to do that, because I read the Word so many times, and I have the ability to understand some of the words, but it was only when the Holy Spirit would reveal me his word that I would actually begin to comprehend this love that is massive. This love that I cannot understand, but he gives away every single day. We must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Christ and his word if we are to grow. Did you hear that? We are to have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and his word if we are going to grow. You can read the word, but when the Holy Spirit reads the word to you, it becomes alive. It no longer is just a set of words. It's a word that is alive, that is active, that is applicable, that is worth reading, that is worth sharing, that is worth eating, that is worth meditating. If you ever have wondered if you've heard God, read his word. This is his breath. Every single word in here is from the mouth of God. It's from the breath of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be imparted to us through our intellect. Paul was praying that God would give that to Ephesus. Paul himself couldn't have given it to them. Only the Holy Spirit must unveil it to us. It is when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us that we have spiritual growth, that we have spiritual understanding, when the revelation of the Word comes from through the Holy Spirit. Pastor Bruce talked about the Holy Spirit not too long ago and how important he is in our lives and we've forgotten about him. We've forgotten about the Holy Spirit. And I said him. It is a person. It's not just a mystical person or an event. He is a person. And the Holy Spirit is here to teach you, to help you. There was a time where we were on the boat, Bruce, Nick, and I, and I think my sisters. Yeah, my sisters were there too. And then Nick had an idea to just throw this anchor in the middle of the water. So he just chucked the anchor and said, I don't know, how many feet was that rope? You know? It was long. So he just threw it in hopes that maybe it would land somewhere, and it did. And then we would feel the tug because you could see the rope stretched out and it had landed somewhere. Trying to gear it back together was the problem. We knew where the rope was. We knew that we were stuck on something. But trying to pull us in to loosen the anchor was hard. And in fact, Nick got so tired that I tried next. And it actually took three of us, because then my sister Erica jumped in to help us. That's the Holy Spirit. He won't let you go that much farther than that. He will pull you back. But to reel you back in, it's going to be hard work. It's going to take probably two or three of you together to come in unity to say, okay, we're going back there. We're going to pull wherever we dropped our anchor, we're going to go back there. That's the Holy Spirit, the one that tugs you, the one that says, no. I've allowed you to go 30 days without you reading my word, but not one more day. Because if you go one more day, you're going to die. So I must pull you, and you're going to feel this tug. You're going to feel it all of a sudden. But you must acknowledge who I am. This past week, yesterday at Pastor Bruce and Pastor Vicky's house, and I was telling them that it was a very emotional week for me. My parents closed on their house, thank the Lord. And, yes, and I celebrated 22 years in this beautiful country. And I was a wreck of the faithfulness of God, and that's why I said, I'm going to tell them. If you don't believe, I'll tell you that he is real, that he is faithful. And a lot of stories and a lot of pictures in my mind went through of what 22 years looks like with God and without God, and where he took me from, and the things that were coming about in this time and in this season that were revealing his faithfulness to me. And we just celebrated 9/11, and I remember looking through Facebook and Instagram, a lot of people would put never forget. And that was 20 years ago, and I could still see the imagery and the videos and the post, and people would tell you, I remember that morning I was doing this, and I remember, and there was a remembering happening, and a never forget was going through that day, and probably two or three days after that. I said, let that be my life. Let that be my way of life. That I never forget about your goodness. That I never forget about what you did when I was 8 years old and 12 years old and 15 years old. Never let me forget from the hand of the oppressor you took me from. Never let me forget from the coffin you raised me up from. Never let me forget that. Don't let it just be a day or an event. Let it be a lifestyle that I never forget that I am indeed a Gentile and that I wasn't supposed to know the God of Israel. But you gracefully reveal yourself to us and said, you are part of my family. We have been adopted and drafted into the family. If we were like a Jew. if we were ourselves from Israel. That's huge. That is big. Don't ever forget that you've been adopted to a family. Did you hear that? Authority, the spiritual authority, is delegated. It's delegated power. Whose power is this? The same power that Jesus had in this earth when he walked in it is the same power that he delegated, not degraded, not made it a little bit slightly different for us. The same power was just given to us. When you say you're a son and a daughter, it is a reminder of your possession, of your position, and where you are in the family of God. You're no longer a servant. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer the person that sits in the back that has to get a sneak view of who Jesus is through a wall anymore. You're a son and a daughter, seated in heavenly places, right there next to him, the anointed one. You are a son and a daughter. The devil doesn't want us to know that. That's why he will continue to defeat us. Because he doesn't want you to know the truth about your authority. He doesn't want you to know what you possess. He doesn't want you to know what you have in your right hand. He doesn't want you to know who your God is. The reason why so many people are perishing is because they don't know who God is. They don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They don't know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They have forgotten. I repeat, the problem in the United States is not just a sin problem. It's not a hate problem. It's not a political problem, although it seems like that. It is that the people of God have forgotten, have dropped out, have turned their back to their God. I'm going to read you a scripture from Isaiah. Isaiah 5:13, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not. It is Psalm 106. I don't even have it here, but for whatever reason, it just popped in my head. Psalm 106. Let's go there. Psalm 106, verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders and did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. That is the scripture that I had no address to. They just popped in my head. They forgot about the mercies of God. It is a mind thing that is happening to us here in the U.S. that we are forgetting, and the distractions are huge now these days. The enemy is trying to give you every single distraction that he could possibly think so that you don't have time to dwell and remember of what the Lord is doing, of what the Lord did, and what the Lord will continue to do. Distractions. I can't tell you how many times I get distracted by this little thing. Hours I get distracted. But he pulls me in right away. When I was brought into the knowledge of who God really is, I'm not telling myself for a little bit, but I used to go to church before I was saved. In fact, I used to go on a regular basis just about every Sunday. I would go to this church, and the reason why I would go to this church is because the people that were going to hang out with me in the club later that night were in that church. Most of the time, I was the one with the car. So I would have to wait until service was over so these people would come with me, and then I would take them. To destroy their lives. I was in these services, but I was never changed, transformed, or really felt anything. But one of their members, not the church, one of their members who was attending that church, who happened to work with me, begin to do what the word says. And not just pray to God that he would save me, but he began to pray a prayer that not often we hear. And it's use me so this man could come into the revelation of who you are. And so he began to fast for me. He began to pack lunch for me. He began to pray for me. He began to be kind to me. And then he invited me to an event that forever changed my life. I didn't know he did that until I was testifying in front of the church that day. People knew who I was. People knew why I was there before. But now I was here testifying of how God is, of who I had met. And people couldn't believe it. He was praying for me, and I saw him cry. And he didn't really say what he was doing for me, but the Lord just revealed that to me in that moment. Do you remember when he would not want to eat with you? During lunch? Yeah, he was praying for you. Do you remember when you saw him out in the field and you said what you were doing? Yeah, he was interceding for you. Do you remember when he would pack you lunch but not himself? It's because he was fasting for you. He was laying himself down. He was laying his life down so that a sinner would have the chance to meet his creator. And when that happened, the rabies from that mad dog would end it. And so, that is my cry. That is my desire. That is my prayer. That should be your desire, every single one of you. How can I lay myself down as a step so that somebody could step over me? And they could see over that wall of separation and have a glimpse of you. And when that moment happens, I can promise you that you will change somebody's life forever because of your obedience and because of your desire to see one more soul get saved. Hosea says in chapter 4, verse 6, my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge of me. Because of lack of knowledge of who I am. Because of lack of knowledge of what I've done in their life. You're not having bad days because the enemy really wants to go after you. It's because he's entered into your mind and he's taken possession of where the thoughts and the remembrance of God should be. When the enemy steps into my life and brings fear, anxiety, depression, it's because he's entered into my mind through some door that I allow to be open. As soon as he walks in, he has no mercy. He will kill, steal, and destroy whatever is in his path. Isaiah 5:13 says this. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity. The people of God going back into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dry up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol, or the dead world, I think it is, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Death has a mouth. And when he sees the people of God going in circles, not knowing who they belong to anymore, they become desirable to be eaten. Genesis 4, when Cain murders Abel, says in Genesis 4, 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin desires you. Death's appetite for you is huge. But you're not desirable to death when you're following Christ. You don't seem attractive to it when you're sealed with the name of the Lord. In fact, they don't even come near you. Because the one who is after you, whose desire is greater than all these other lovers, will not let you go down that pit. Why is this Ephesians word so important nowadays? It is because we are about the doing here in the U.S. How can we do something so that people would know Christ? And we've forgotten about the simplest way to bring people to Christ. And that is teaching them the word. I was remembering after I got saved, as I was telling you, Ivan is his name. He invited me to his house after, because I didn't have a car, by the way, so he was my ride to work. So I was stuck with this man. I was going to get saved one way or another. So he would have to take me home after work, because I didn't have a car. And so sometimes he would take me to his house, and his wife would cook up a meal, and we would have a meal together. And this is why it's so important what Nick preached, because a table is always a place to have revelation of who God is. And we were having this meal, and then afterwards he went outside, and he lived in this mobile home, and I don't know if you've ever been on mobile home steps, but they're small and just like a few. And I was sitting at the bottom, and he was sitting one step higher than me, but he was reading me the word. So he's like, okay, now that I fed you, now that you've had your fun, I want to read to you. Like, sure, go ahead and read to me. So he was reading me the story of Elijah and Elisha, and how I was getting mixed up, but how one of them left everything to follow the other, and then all of a sudden he was taken up to heaven. And then as he was reading that, and he was reading to me how Elijah came back to the same place, to the same river that Elijah had crossed, that he looked at the cloth that he had striked the water with so it would open so they could cross. And he did the same thing, but nothing happened. Because the power wasn't in the cloth. And his next cry out is, where is the God of Elijah? He wanted understanding. He's like, I don't want to know how this works anymore. I want to know who the God of Elijah is. And he prayed over me that day that I would receive a double portion. I don't know what that was at the moment. But he prayed over me that I would, I remember him putting his hand over me, and I think he put a shirt over me, actually. And he prayed that I would receive a double portion. And from there on, his prayers have been heard. And this man had was working hard to have a child, and after so many years, he received this child. I believe it was a reward to see another child get to know his father. And he received this kid, and he's now like 4 years, 5 years old, and awesome little kid, and looks just like him. And it's amazing to see the faithfulness of God in his life as a reward to lay his life down for mine. But I want to encourage you. This is why I wanted this message to be a proclamation and a prophetic message to your life, that it's not just about you. It's not about just you reading the word every day and getting the presence of God and then just going about your normal day and saying this is a good day. It's what you're going to give away. It's not about coming to church and what can I get out of it. Worship was great today. The song that we were singing was amazing, and I got something. But Nick said it once, it's not about what worship can give you, but how you can give yourself to worship the Lord. This is a time where we give ourselves in ministry to the Lord. We lay ourselves down. We put our breath out there that was given from him to him. And so we glorify him because he is worthy of being praised. Not just of four songs. Not just of 30, 40 minutes. He is worthy to be praised hours. Hours. I'm going to finish with this. Romans 1, 28. Yeah, Romans chapter 1, verse 28. I'm going to read you from the Amplified Version. I hope you've gotten a glimpse of what the Lord is revealing to me. I know this is not the end of it. I know that I'm going to be preaching this again, I promise you. Maybe next time. Just because I want everybody to hear it. I did, going through my other messages, saw that in February, I preached about wisdom again. So it's not a coincidence that wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who he is really apparent this year. I'm going to read the word, and then we can close out on the live, and then we can have a little bit of ministry time. So Romans 1, verse 28 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness. They are gossips, spreading rumors, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Although they know God's righteous decree and his judgment that those who do such things deserve death, yet they not only do them, but they even approve and tolerate others who practice them. People, this is talking about people who have knowledge of God, who have tasted and seen of the goodness. It says in Scripture that it is better for you not to know God and continue your old ways than for you to come to the knowledge of who he is and then continue your old ways. I didn't understand the magnitude of that word until it happened in my life, and I, for the first time ever, felt what it feels to sadden the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you no longer want to do it. I promise you that. When you feel exactly, when he allows you to feel what he felt, you're like, I am so sorry. And then you begin to realize, is this what I've always done to you? And then you have the greatest revelation of the mercy of God in your life. That even though you spit at his face, and even though you smack him, and even though you degraded the cross, he still comes back. And he still waits for you the next morning. Let me tell you how. Without you ever having sinned, ever. He looks at you as if you had never sinned in your life. Every morning. Every morning. You stand in the presence of God as if you had never sinned in your entire life. The only reason why it seems that this earth is getting darker and darker is because the light of the ones that beheld the light is going dimmer and dimmer. Because the lack of remembering the Lord and his marvelous works, death is becoming hungrier for souls. It's not that the enemy is getting stronger. It's not that. It's that the people of God are getting weaker. Death is becoming hungrier for souls more than God's people. Did you hear that? Death is becoming hungrier for souls than God's people. I say bye to the online, and I just pray that you would have the revelation and the knowledge of God, and that you would practice that in your life.